Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Meseches Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. We begin on the second line off the top. Reishis HaGeis. Okay, so the mitzvah, the special mitzvah to grant a portion of your first sharings to the Kayin. That applies only to sheep. Reishis HaGeis, Einoi Noyeg Ela B'Rechelim. Only sheep as opposed to goats, as opposed to a cow. Minahan Emili, how do we know that it's limited to sheep? Amar Rav Chisda. It is learned by way of a Gzeiro Shava Asya. We learn through Giza, it says, Geiz Tzoyncha Titenloi. So we have the term geiz, giza, over here. We have the term giza elsewhere. Right? Ksivhacha, over here it says, reishis geiz tzoyncha, you give to the kain, titenloi. Ksivhasam, elsewhere we have a pasuk in Iyayiv. Umi geiz kvasa yischamam. He will warm himself via the shearings of his sheep, right? The wool. And we make a connection. Mala halon, just like over there. The term gaze, shearing, pertains to kvasim only, to sheep. Afkan kvasim here as well. Gaze is limited to kvasim. Asks the Gemara, why are you making this connection? From here to Iyav, to limit it to sheep, we can make the same type of gzir shava using the same type of word and connect it to Bechayr, where we find the term giza relates even to a bull, to a shayr. One may not put his b'chor to work. Right? So this firstborn bull is kadosh. You can't put it to work. Nor should you shear. You shouldn't shear. Firstborn, a tzayin, a light animal. Now, what about crossover? Could you work a light animal? Could you share a bull if it's a bechor? Minayin liten es ha'omer shel zeh. How do we know to apply the halacha said by the bull, not to work with it b'zeh to the lighter animal, and vice versa, es ha'omer shel zeh b'zeh, nor should you share the bull? So, how do we know that these things cross over, that we apply the Isra Avoida to the Tzoyin, Isra Giza to the Shar, Tamar Leimar. There's a connector in the Pasuk, Evav. Loisavit, Viloi, Viloi Sagais. Hence we know that both prohibitions apply to both classes of animals. In any case, clearly the Torah relates the term gaze, Loisagais, to a Shar. Right? So, apparently, Giza is not limited to sheep. Says the Gemara, you're right. Amakro. We have a different pasuk, which teaches that Reishis HaGeis is limited to sheep, to wool, which can be used to produce a personal garment. Amakro, the pasuk says, Reishis geiz tzoynecha titen lo, you grant it to the kohen for his personal bodily use, for a garment. Well, it's saka as opposed to, you know, bull's hair, which is only suitable for sack making. It's not for personal use. Ela miyata, if that's the criterion, it has to have garment potential, then what about goat's hair, which are used in garment manufacturing? Elmeato, noisa shalizim, lechayv, which be chayvin, reishis hageiz. The answer is, no, there's another issue there. It's not called gaze. Gaze relates to a shearing, cutting process, which entails a tool as opposed to goat's hair, which is merely plucked manually. It does not conform to the term gaze, but you know we require giza, a shearing. Valeka, you don't have to buy a goat. So hence we know a sheep are in, but goats are out, and likewise bulls. Says the Gemara, man shamas le hasvara. Who's the sheet? Who's the opinion? who insists on, you know, precise application of the term. So gaze means literally giza, not plucking. Who takes that approach? Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yossi is the one who says, well, hamaydi Rabbi Yossi mididu rechei. We'll find later, Rabbi Yossi agrees that if this happens to, the term is relative to the particular product at hand. If this, in fact, is the proper mode of sharing it, right? A goat's ear is plucked, and that's called gaze, relative to the goat. By a sheep, it's done with a machine, with a scissors. By a goat, it's done by hand. So that's that qualifies as gaze. It's a relative term, right? Hamaydi Rabbi Yossi b'midi d'orchei. Rabbi Yossi agrees. If this is the proper method, Elo. So back to the question, why are we excluding goat's hair from Rishis HaGez? Kedamar, Shimon Levi, as he tells us tomorrow, regarding the amount that you give to the Kohen, it has to be enough that can be processed into a belt, which is one of the begadim that a Kohen wears when he serves Hashem. Lamed L'Sharis, which is the pasuk which is stated right after the mitzvah of Reishis HaGez. It's meant to serve him that purpose. Dover Hurei L'Sharis, give him something which is suitable for service in the Beis HaMikdash. Hanamir as well, regarding determining what type of material is obligated, it needs to be something which can potentially be applied for wearing, for serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning wool. Hanamir, Dover Hurei L'Sharis. Okay, so that slams the lid on that. It has to be wool only. Okay, so then why do we need that Zero Shava? At this point, it seems unnecessary. Elo Gizel, Gizel Mayasa. For Divin Alachal, Tanu Rishmol, Tanu Rishmol. Even within the sheep family, it needs to be sheep with soft, cushy wool. He says, Kvasim Shetsimon Kasha. You have a certain abnormal sheep whose wool is rigid, is firm, it's not really warm and warming and soft. Paturim Rishis HaGez, it's going to be exempt. Shenamar Umegez Kvas HaYishchamam, that's why we need that connection to Eiv. It needs to be shearings of a sheep which have the ability to warm, and only something which is soft because of its insulative, you know, properties, because it has sort of layers, it's sort of that qualifies it. It also, you know, takes on the shape of the person, as opposed to something which is stiff and rigid, which doesn't have the warming ability as much, and therefore it is excluded. Okay, so at this point we know which material is included: sheep material, wool, and it needs to be soft and warming, as opposed to goat's hair, bull's hair. Those are out. What about if it's hand plucked? So if that's the accepted mode of harvesting, yeah. But otherwise, according to Rabbi Yossi, it doesn't qualify. Here comes that discussion. Tani chad. Okay, so one braisa it says, goyiz is a se'izim, v'shoytiv is rechilim potter. If one shears, right, uses a scissor and shears the goats, that's out, because those are excluded from the Reishis HaGez, right? It's not wool. But the second point, v'shoytev es rechelim, he washes off his, he bathes his sheep. And during the bathing process, we have some wool that, you know, sort of drops. Potter, it's exempt from Reishis HaGez, because that wool, that merely shed from the sheep during the washing process, was not harvested properly, wasn't shorn. And that's required in Kontra Beis. But we have another braisa, which says that's okay. V'tani idah, we have another braisa. Goat is in potter. Okay, so goat's hair is out. But v'shoytev es rechelim, these fibers that shed during the bathing process of sheep are chayev in Reishis HaGez. The answer is lekasha. Harabbanan, Rabbi Yossi. First braisa is Rabbi Yossi. It has to be done conventionally, as opposed to just, you know, shedding during the kontrabbanan. Any sort of removal qualifies. Where do we find Rabbi Yossi's opinion, who insists on following the, you know, precisely the literal term? Gaze means to share, and ketzircha and the fire means to cut, right? Where is that Rabbi Yossi? The sani leket ketzircha. V'loy leket kituf. So the droppings, the stalks that drop during the tzircha when you cut with a sickle, yeah, that belongs to the poor. But if you're plucking it out manually, something drops at that point, doesn't qualify for leket. Rabbi Yossi Omer, yeah, ain leket ala haba machams kotzer. In fact, leket is only if it derived from a proper cutting. Rabbi Yossi Omer Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi seems to be just repeating the Tanakama. What's the, kula Rabbi Yossi. The whole b'risa is Rabbi Yossi speaking. It's all one track. Vachik Tani, the b'risa means like this. A stalk that drops during the plucking process doesn't qualify for leket. Vachik Tani, why share? Oh, share Rabbi Yossi Omer, because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion. That ain't leket el ba machlus katzer. Leket is only leket ketzercha. If it was cut, not if it was plucked. But omle ravach moed rav ravashi, you should know moed rav yesi midur ruchei. So we referenced this before. If rav yesi insists on following the precise description of the literal term of the pasuk, but if it's something normal, something conventional. So if this is the regular method, proper mode of harvesting. Even if it wasn't done with a tool, with a sickle, it qualifies as sani with a brisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer katzer. The literal word katzer means a little katzer. Only if it was cut. What about oikar minayim? Let's say some beans are actually plucked out with their roots. Tamleva liktzer. Liktzer, and the pasuk is covering that process as well. What about toilish minayim? And sometimes, some beans are just plucked without the roots. Again, it's a different type of cutting. It's not a regular, conventional cut. It's a hand pluck, pick. Okay, but if this is the way it's done, Tamalemu Kutzrecha, they added the lushan, covers this form of harvesting as well. But for instance, regarding grain, the proper way is to cut it with a sickle, and only that qualifies. Amale Ravina Ravashi. I want to support this theory as well from a Mishnah. Afanana mitanina, we have a Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi clearly includes all these forms of harvesting if it is considered the accepted method of doing so. Afanana mitanina, we have a Mishnah. Malbenois, these are the squares, like the patches of petzolim of onions, which of course are plucked out manually. And that's situated should be in a yorok between different vegetables. So you have separate rectangles of onions. Are they considered separate fields, so to speak, and each one earns its own payah, each one has to have its own payah on the corner for the poor, or is it all considered one entity? Rabbi Yossi Omer payim glachas v'echad, each one is a separate entity, requires its own payah. Clearly, you see from Rabbi Yossi now, even onions which are not cut, they're plucked, are included in the mitzvahs of matanis kuhuna, of the matanis lekat shikon payah, in support and confirmation of our theory. The Chacham Omer Mechas al HaKoyel, they disagree regarding considering them to be separate entities. It says it's really all one thing, it's all one onion factory, even though it looks like it's separate into separate sections. Okay. V'kama Merubah. At this point, we know what. What material qualifies for Eishes HaGeitz? Soft sheep material. Now, how many animals have to be shorn to trigger this obligation of Kama Merubah? So in the Mishnah we had Beishamai, two sheep, Beishilo, five. What are the sources for each respective opinion? Mishnah Beishamai Tarti, Nami Kritzoy. So Beishamai came from a pasuk where the pasuk called even two sheep as Soin. Yichai ish eglas boker shteitzer, right? The pasuk in Yishaya. Besilol came from a pasuk in Shmuel. Chamesh tzayin asuyas. Now the question is, fine, five also qualify for tzayin, but in Beis Shammai's pasuk clearly indicates that even two qualify. So why do Besilol negate that pasuk? Bishlem the Beis Shammai tartinami kritzayin. So according to Beis Shammai, understand, they discovered a pasuk where even two is called tzayin. Elo Besilol my time, but why do Besilol veer away from that pasuk? Amar Rav Kahana, Amakro. Because Basil's pasuk indicates that only five trigger the chiv of Reish Zagez. It says, Chamesh Soin Asui. What does Asuyas mean? They generate, they manufacture, they activate two mitzvahs, which only happen when there are five. Shoyes, Asuyas means Shoyes, Shte mitzvahs. What are the two? Reish Zagez, Umatanis. Matanis means Israel Chayayim. Ask the Gemara, it's Reish HaGeiz and Matanis, which supports your theory that it's only five. Eima B'chayr HaMatanis, perhaps the two mitzvahs that are triggered when you get to the number five, it's Bechor and Matanis. Well, no, Bechor Echadim Elim Chayva. For a Bechor, even one qualifies. The firstborn is a Bechor, you don't need five. But Tamech, according to your argument, the Matanis Chadim Elim Chayva, what about Matanis? It's not conditioned upon five. Even one animal that's shechted triggers the Chiva Matanis. So we veer away from this pshat. Elam Ravashi. Chomesh Tzoyin Asuyas teaches us Shema Asuyas is Baalei. It's not Asuyas meaning two. No, it triggers one, it activates one new mitzvah. It introduces a new mitzvah into the scene. Shema Asuyas is Baalei in it. Gets the owners to do. It's like Godel HaMa'asa, right? You recruit a donor for tzedakah, so it recruits its owner. Vayimerslein sort of tells him, "Get going, kuma say mitzvah. There's a new mitzvah, fresh new mitzvah today. Come, we're five. We're good for Reis HaGeis. So that's how we know that Reis HaGeis is dependent upon five. At this point, we have two opinions. Beshamay is two. Beshil five. Here comes the third opinion. Tanya, the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, Vayimer, Mishum Abim. So Rabbi Yosi is the one who's being sourced here. He says Arba, it's four. They qualify as Tzoyin Shenemar. V'arba, oh, the Ganav, right? He stole the animal and he pays back four. V'arba Tzoyin Tachas Hases. We see the term Tzoyin relating to four. And Rebbe accepted this position. Tanya, my Rebbe says, this came from a great man, Rebbe Yosi, an outstanding scholar, Il Molay. Even if it were so that Divrihen, that their positions, Beishamay Bissel's positions, were Divrei Torah based on Torah. Rashi explains the term Torah means like it's instructions for all generations. Torah, Hira, right? As opposed to concepts that we find in Navi and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, they're called Kabbalah because Shekibul Meruach HaKodesh Kol Nevuah Nevuah L'Vitzorech HaShoah V'Hador V'Amas. He says primarily the items found in the Nach are for sort of the time being. It was meant for local, conditions, local circumstances, local events, instructions from Hashem to deal with local. So that's why it's called Kabbalah. It was a Kabbalah for the circumstance at hand, as opposed to Torah, which is sort of permanently in place for all generations. Okay, in any case, just to understand the terms, the Rein Derei Torah, even if it were so that Bisham Yisil were based on a pasuk in Chumash, which of course stands higher than Nach, but Divrei Beribi and the words of Beribi, the great Beribi Rabbi Yosi, were only from Nach Kabbalah, I would still side with him. Anan Divrei Beribi Shemin. I'll go with that. Because again, certainly in our situation where he is coming from a pasuk in Shemayis and they're only coming from Nach, Vekolshkin should Divrei Divrei Kabbalah, and he Vidivrei Beribi is Divrei Torah. Now, why would he adopt Rabbi Yosi over the Gemara is assuming because it's sort of a compromised position. Here we have two, here we have five, four, somewhere in the middle. However, it doesn't really qualify as a compromise. V'amamar, we learned, Enachra Shalishis Machras, a third opinion, a third entity, is not considered a compromise. A compromise would be, suppose one party says, black and white is in. Other one says black and white is out. Comes a third party and says, black is in, white is out. So he's sort of relating to their factors and he's drawing a compromise. But here, it's a totally new entity, totally new number. They're saying two. They're saying five. And he comes up with a brand new number, which is four, which is not two or not five. On monetary issues, four is a compromise between two and five, right? Because in five you have two, it's all about money, it's the same commodities, so somewhere in the middle is considered count. But here, it's a brand new concept. Two animals trigger, five animals trigger. No, he says four animals trigger. So why would he prefer his opinion over the others? You know why? It turns out my base. Because it was sourced. Listen to this. It was sourced from the great Nevi'im. Yipishmua Amra. He related it not from his own investigation. It was based on the Halacha that he was makabal, that he was handed down. Amar b'chagai zechari malachi, the great Nevi'im, who was the last Nevi'im, incidentally. So that's where it came from. That's why Rebbe adopted that position. Okay, so we know how many. are required to trigger the chiyuv? 2, 5, and according to Rebbe, the conclusion is 4. Now, how much? How much sharing? How much wool do you need to have to get the chiyuv going? So we have machlekes in the Mishnah. He says a very large amount. You need 5, and each one should produce a mana opras. A mana is 25 sela and a half of a mana. So it's 37 and a half sela. It's a weight, a certain amount of pounds, times 5. Right? So one per each. Whereas the Chachamim say, kol shein. You don't need that much, even a little bit. Now, how much is kol shein? Just a strand? Unlikely. You have to give the kain something from it. Become a kol shein. So we have a big machloikas. Again, we're talking about the minimum amount or weight requirement. How much wool do you need to trigger the mitzvah? Become a kol shein. Amar Rav, mana opras. Of all 5, you have to have produced a mana opras, which is 37 and a half sela. It's provided that it's split evenly amongst all 5. So each one has to have an even fifth of this. So the 37 half sela have to be evenly distributed amongst the 5. With Shmuel Amar Shishim, he says 60 sela, which is way more than 37 and a half. You give a 60th, which is a significant portion of the total, a 60th. Right, less than a 60th is sort of nullified, right? The bottom of Shishim, so 1/60th is the minimum amount to still have presence, to still be considered, reckoned with in the bigger picture. V'noisin sela achas l'koy. Rabba b'rachana omar, Rabbi Yechon, he quotes Rabbi Yechon to say, sheish. As long as you have 6 sela worth of wool, it activates the chiyuv. L'koyin chamisha v'echad loy, but it has to be l'koyin 5 of 6. It has to be something significant, something of substance, like the Mishnah says. And even though he's only left with 1, poor fellow, okay, but that's the chiyuv. Ulam Rabbi Lazar says, no, why 6 or 60 or kol shein shaninu? The Mishnah says, even a drop. Rashi says, even a sela worth. It seems from Rashi, it doesn't mean literally a drop, but he has to have enough to give the cup. But it's something, even a sela worth. Okay, so how much wool is required to trigger the mitzvah? According to Reb Leizer ben Harkness, a huge amount. 37 and a half sela times 5. According to Rabbanon, who say kol shein, we have 3 opinions. Either it means kol shein, even a little bit, or according to Rav, 37 and a half sela, according to Shmuel, 60 sela. Tana, let's move back to the Mishnah. How much do you give the kohen? What's the portion that goes to the kohen? Become an Eisen Loi. 5 sela worth. Mishkal Chamesh Shlam Yehuda. And Yehuda, the selas were bigger, so it was 5, which ended up being 10 in Golo, because they had smaller coins. Sheinasa Shlam B'Golo. So you have to give him at least 5 worth. Bishlam L'Rav Rabbi Yechon Nich, according to Rav Rabbi Yechon, it works. Because, so you have to give this much. Elo L'Shmol Rav Lazar Kashim, according to Shmuel, who says, clearly says you only give 1 sela, and certainly according to a Lazar, the whole starting point is just a drop. You only have a drop to begin with. Hakashi, how are you going to give him 5? Well, tell me, according to your question, Rav Minicha, why is it any better according to Rav? Well, Rav Shmuel, Damar Tavai, they both told us, Reishis Hagez B'Shishim. You give the coin 1/60th of the total quantity. Okay, and according to Rav, what's the starting point? 37 and a half sela. 60th of that is barely a half. A sela, it's certainly not 5. So how does this work? The answer is like this. So Am Ritmar Lo, Dahi. We have to reevaluate the Mishnah. We understand the Mishnah's message. It's not like you have to give him 5 under all circumstances. The Mishnah's talking about a fellow who's loaded up with tons of sheep, tons of wool. He has plenty to go around. Issue is, he has a truckload of sheep, of wool, he has a trainload of kayan, chetanim, and cousins. How much is he going to give each person? Comes the mission and says, you have to make sure that each fellow gets a substantial amount, a respectable amount, chamishlam, to make himself something. That's the point. But if the starting point is a small amount of, he only has a small amount of wool, certainly we take Rav Shmuel's formula, which is, you're not obligated more than the 60th. There's no set prescribed amount, how much you give. It's relative to the total quantity, right? Ha'it Marla, Dahi. We have an explanation on that Mishnah. Rav Shmuel, they will explain to us what's going on. Bistral, Sheish, like Gizin, Harbi, Askin, talking about an owner has lots of Gizin, lots of wool, Mavakshit, and the Koyin. And he wants to distribute it. How much does he give per Koyin? Primarily, we instruct him as follows. Give each fellow something useful. Kol Chad, Bachad, each Koyin, don't give him less than 5 sel. Okay, Gufa. But in terms of the actual obligation, it's a 60th, merely a 60th. Gufa, right, as we learned. Rav Shmuel Dam Tamei, they both explained to us. Reis HaGez B'Shishim. Reis HaGez is giving a 60th. Where else do we have the 60th formula? Truma B'Shishim. A 60th of your crop is Truma. Peah B'Shishim. A 60th of your field is Peah. Ask the Gemara. What's going on? Truma B'Shishim. A 60th is Truma. V'anatnam, I have a Mishnah. Yeah, it's for a stingy person, but for a regular person, certainly a generous person, it's way more than a 60th. But it's not true by enough. Echad ma'arbaim, a generous fellow, g'day, give one a 40th. So why are we sufficing with 1/60th? Says the deraisa b'shish. Minat Torah, a 60th is enough. To Rabbanan b'arbaim. Rabbanan upped it to a 40th. Okay, so Rabbi Shmuel spoke about the basic chi of Minat Torah, and Rashi brings a pasuk in Cheskel, we have a remez, that is the 60th. Ask the Gemara, hold it, the Raisa B'Shishim, Minat Torah, you need to give a 60th, even one kernel suffices. Rabbi Shmuel himself tells us, chita achas, one kernel, but there's a tree, grabs the entire granary. You're right, the Raisa B'Shishim, technically Minat Torah, one kernel is enough, like Shmuel. The Rabbanon, B'Darais, Echad Marboim, however the Rabbanon, regarding material, like grain, which is chayiv and truma minat Torah, they applied the shear of 1/40th for a generous fellow. Suppose it's material which is not chayiv minat Torah. Minat Torah, it's only grain and grapes and olives, but apples, only chayiv and truma minat Torah. They were not so strict. Even a generous fellow can revert to the stingy formula, which is 60th. Hence, Rav Shmuel cited the number 60th because it applies to ordinary materials. Next question. Peah B'Shishim? A 60th of the field is meant to be Peah? But now we have a Mishnah which we all say every morning. There's no prescribed amount. There's no shear. Dvarim she'ein lahem shear. The following items have no prescribed amount. Ein lahem shear. HaPeah, right? Habikurim HaRa'ayin. Which is the carbon that you bring when you come to Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. So how could you say Peah requires a 60th? The rice ain't no shear. You're right, Minat Torah, there's no shear. The Rabbanon b'shish. Rabbanon enacted a shear of shish. Ma'ikam Ashmon. Again, what's the point? It's already a Mishnah. Tani, we have a Mishnah that is the 60th from the Rabbanon. Any person will pay a Mishish, you know, and to give less than a 60th by pay. Ava b'sham rapeil and shear. Even though the previous Mishnah said it has no shear. Minat Torah has no shear. The Rabbanon, the 60th. So what's Shmuel coming to add to the Mishnah? Hasan Boretz. The Mishnah speaking at Yisrael. But I wouldn't know about Chutzlart. Let's say in Surya, it was Chayiv in the Rabbanon. Hacha b'Chutzlart. Rav Shmuel coming to add. Even pay on chutzlar, it still needs to be a 60th, similar to Eretz Yisrael. Here comes a story. Kisalak Isi Barini. When Isi Barini traveled up to Eretz Yisrael, who did he meet up with? Ashkechei Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon notices him sitting and learning with his son. Ah, Mekai Mitzvah Deraisa. No, and I went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Bnei Brak. My son, he says, when the Tata vet learnem et azun vet akenet. He says, when the father will learn with his son, I'll learn with my son, he'll know. And then he added, it's a mitzvah deraisa. It's a mitzvah natura. You know, you send your kid to yeshiva. Very nice, but it doesn't absolve you from yechiv. That's primarily the way a child is meant to learn, to absorb, to internalize Torah through his father. The father will learn with his son, he'll know. So you're sitting learning with his son. The Kamasne Lilibre, he was learning the Allah, it's a very sad gaze. He said over the Lashon of the Mishnah, right? The Kamasne Lilibre, Rechelim, sheep, sheep's wool. Now, Rechelim is the mayoral orientation, Lashon Zohar. And according to his understanding, the Lashon Rechelim covers both genders of sheep. Amar Leis, he says, but the Mishnah. We have the Mishnah Recheilois. Asnai Recheilois. Why don't you teach him the way we have it in the Mishnah Recheilois? That's the way the Chachamim related to this species. Amalek Lechsips. He says, "Well, I'm going with the pasuk. Pashas Vayishlach, right? Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav Recheilim Asai Recheilim. Amalisi says that's the way the Torah calls it. But in Torah Shebal Peh, it's related to differently. Amalei Lashon Torah La'atzma, Lashon Chachamim La'atzma. The Chumash has its way of expressing itself. The Chachamim and Torah Shebal Peh have their way of expressing themselves. Interesting, the Chasam Sefer says why. So why doesn't the Mishnah, in fact, use Rechei Lois, he says, to hint to us that the source of the number, right, 2 and 5, is from the Psukim and Divrei Kabbalah, right, Mimim Ksuvim, as opposed to the share of 4, which is from Rabbi Yosi, based on the Pasuk in the Torah. So that's why the Mishnah specifically used Rechei Lois, which is Lashon Chachamim, to indicate that the numbers are based on Psukim and Divrei Kabbalah, not the original pasuk in the Torah per se, but in the Divrei Kabbalah, which is a lower level, similar to Divrei Chachamim of Torah Shebal Peh. Interesting. Okay, so he set him straight on that. Amalei, he continued his interview. He says, "What's going on? Tell me some good news. What's going on in Babel?" Amalei, Man Reish Sidra, who's the head of the of the yeshiva, who's the big rabbi of Babel? Amalei, he says, Rav, right? His name was Abba. So instead of calling him Rav, Rabbeinu, in a respectful way, he called him by his name. Amalei, Abba Aricha, the long Abba. He's very tall. Amalei, he says, that's how you call him? Let me set you straight. Let me tell you who you're talking about. It's a great man. Beyond our understanding. Amalei, Abba Aricha, currently calling him Abba Aricha. Let me have a word with you. The Chirna, I'll tell you, I recall. Way back when we were younger, how great he was. Kadav Yasivna, Achar Yudzayin Shurim. When we were sitting in the yeshiva in front of Rebbe, Rebbe was the teacher at that point, I was 17 rows behind. I was in the bleachers. Achere de Rav Kamed Rebbe, behind Rav, who was sitting right in front of Rebbe. And you know what was going on between Rav and Rebbe? Fireworks going back and forth. The Torah was fire. Venafki Zikuk and Dinur, these spits of fire. These bullets of fire were flames were just shooting. We put me the Rebbe from Rav's mouth to Rebbe and back. We put me the Rebbe, put me the Rav. And I had no clue. It was way over my head. Less than the other my name. I had no clue what they were talking about. That's the man you were talking. And you call him Abba Richa, Vat Amras, Vat Abba Richa. Currently calling him Abba Richa. Okay. So he set him straight. Amalei, so now was Isi Barhini's turn to ask Rabbi Yechon. He says, Amalei, you know. Learning Reish Sagez with my son. Could you clarify for me, please? Amalei, you Reish Sagez become, how many sheep need to be shorn to trigger, to activate the Chiv of Reish Sagez? How much wool has to be shorn? What's the quantity? Amalei, so really he's coming from the Mishnah where the Rabbanan say, Kol Shein, even a drop. Is that so? Amalei, so Rabbi Yechon says, Bishishim. You need to have at least 60, pounds, 60 selah worth of wool to trigger. So he says, what do you mean? The Mishnah says, Kol Shein, Vanan, B'chol Shein, Tanan. Why 60? It says even a drop. Amalei Shab Yechnon. Third time around, set him straight, he says, well, you're asking me, right? You must be asking me for a reason. Right? So listen to me. Amalei, Imkain, if you're going to insist on just, the literal wording of the Mishnah, then you don't have to ask me. Imkain, Ma Ben Livalach, what's the difference between me and you? Meaning, I have that clarity in the Mishnah from my teachers, etc. That in fact, that is the correct and proper meaning of the words of the Mishnah. It doesn't mean kol shein literally a drop. It means relative to Reb Daisu, says a huge amount. So it's not that much, it's kol shein, but it doesn't mean literally a drop, it means at least 60, which is a substantial amount, qualifies as gaze, as a cropping of wool, which allows you to give a 60th to the kohen and still have, a quality gift. Rav Dimi came, he had a different presentation of the minimum requirement. He quotes Rav Beshishim, 60 selah worth. Rabbi Yechon from Rabbi Yanai, b'shesh. Rabbi Yechon quotes Rabbi Yanai that it's 6 selah worth. Amalei, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Dimi. One up, one down. An cheslan chada. So, one problem was solved. Va'ak cheslan chada. And one problem was now generated. Meaning, bishleima d'Rabbi Yochanan Rechnei kasha. You see, a minute ago we quoted, and I'm going to go back up at the beginning of the Amid here. Rabbi Rechana quotes Rabbi Yochanan that the minimum amount is 6, right? And in the previous story between Rabbi Yochanan and Isi, he said 60. How do we resolve that? How did they have the Rabbi? Rechlin's personal opinion of the day is 60. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, who said 6, that's in the name of his Rebbe, as you just presented, Rechlin Shor Biyanai. So that resolves that issue. He holds 60, his Rebbe holds 6. Fine. Good. Thank you for that clarity. El Rav, the Rav Kashi, but in Rav, we have a open clash. Because according to your version of Rav, it's 60. And earlier, on top of the Amr, Rav, Mano Pras, 1.5 Mano, which Rashi says 37.5 Sela. So which one is it? The Rav, the Rav, and the Kasha, that also can be resolved as follows. When he said Mana and a half, he didn't mean the standard Mana of 25 Sela, which gets you 37.5 in total. No, he meant a Mana of 40 Sela, a jumbo Mana. Like Kasha, my mana, the kama, we spoke about a mana, we spoke about a supersized mana, which weighs 40 sela. My mana, the kama, ben arboim slaim, in which case 1.5 is 60 sela. Tavale b'shisha, which is a perfect fit to your quote of Rav that it's 60. We turn to the next page. Ask the Gemara, where do you find this jumbo sized mana, the tani tana, mana arboim slaim, does a tana, does a mana? They speak about this type of unusual mana and just call it a mana? Yeah, in. Atani Baba Brisa regarding halachas of tuma, chemes chadash. You have a new leather pouch which hadn't yet been properly, you know, closed up and sewn together. It still has these holes. Avi b'shul kabelas remind him to, even though it can hold pomegranate, so it's already useful. It's tar because it's not completed yet. But let's say tafri, fully sewed it together, he closed it up, and then it tore v'nikra. Once it attained the status of a kli, it doesn't lose it so quickly. Shiuro can wait to remind him if it can still hold on to the pomegranate, it still retains its kli status, but if it slides out, then it's tahar. According to Tanakam, it's about pomegranates. Rabbi Elazar Yaakov Omer, no, it's about spools of wool. Kepakye shel shesi. The hole has to be big enough to allow a spool of shesi, of horizontal string, and the loom is horizontal, there's vertical. So shesi is a vertical, a thicker. Kepakye shel shesi achas. Now, what size spool are we talking about? It could be small, it could be big. It means, achas mi arba b'mona shel ben arboim slaim. Achas mi arba, 1 out of 4, so it's a fourth, of a mona. Okay, that's how big it is, that's how much it weighs. Ben arboim slaim. Which type of mona? The one comprised of 40 cell, a jumbo mona. So clearly, it's related to that type of mona. So this spool is 10, right? That's a fourth of the 40. In any case, that supports our shot. In fact, when Rav spoke about 1.5 mana, he didn't mean the standard, he meant the 40 selah mana, in which case 1.5 is 60, which fits with the number 60 cited further down in his name as well. Okay, so in conclusion, how much wool is required to trigger the chiva of Reis HaGeis? According to the Beis Ibn Harkness, 1.5 mana times 5. According to Rav, and according to Shmuel, it's 60 selah. According to Rabbi Yochanan's personal opinion, it's only 6. According to Rabbi Loza, even a kol shein. How much do you give the kohen? According to Rabbi Shmuel, a 60th of the total amount. If you have enough to go around, make sure to give each kohen a substantial amount, useful amount, a minimum of 5 selah worth. Okay, all the best to you and hatzlacha rabbah.